हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थमाविदिशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 45. Prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb, Adhyaya Prakashika. As described in this chapter, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered the womb of Devaki to kill Kamsa, all the demigods understood that the Lord was living within Devaki's womb, and therefore in veneration they offered him the Garbhastuti prayers. Kamsa, under the protection of his father-in-law Jarasandha, along with the help of his demoniac friends like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Agasura, Mustika, Bana, and Bhaumasura, began oppressing the members of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, the members of the Yadu dynasty left their homes and sought shelter in such states as Kuru, Panchala, Kekaya, Salva, and Vidarbha. Only some of them stayed with Kamsa as nominal friends. After Krishna killed the Sadgarbhas, right, nominal means just to, you know, just to, so he doesn't bother you. After Kamsa killed the Sadgarbhas, the six sons of Devaki, one after another, Anantadev entered Devaki's womb and was transferred to the womb of Rohini by the manipulation of Yogamaya, who was following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself, who was soon to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, ordered Yogamaya to take birth from the womb of Jashoda Devi, because Krishna and his potency Yogamaya appeared simultaneously as brother and sister. The world is full of Vaishnavas and Shaktas, and there is certainly some rivalry between them. Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Lord, whereas Shaktas, according to their desire, worship Yogamaya in forms like Durga, Bhadrakali, and Chandika. Following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya transferred Baladev, Sankarsana, the seventh son of Devaki, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Because Sankarsana appears in order to increase love of Krishna, he is known as Baladeva. One may take auspicious strength from him to become a devotee of the Lord, and therefore he is also known as Balabhadra. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child, so it means our spiritual strength comes from Balaram, right, from Lord Nityananda. So by his grace, then we're able to not be attracted by the material energy. We give that up by his grace. So that's why it's always they go together. You have Jagannath and Baladev with Yogamaya. You have Gorni Thai like that. You know, so Lord Chaitanya is taking that aspect of his internal potency. So they always go together. The three of them, right? You know, or Vishnu is then always with Ananta, and then Shribu and Nila, like this. So you always have this combination. So by his grace, you're not involved in the material, you have the spiritual strength, and then by the internal potency, we're engaged in devotional service. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the heart of Vasudeva and transferred himself into the heart of Devaki. Because the Lord was present in her heart, Devaki, as her pregnancy continued, appeared effulgent. Upon seeing this effulgence, Kamsa was full of anxiety, but he could not harm Devaki because of their family relationship. Thus he began indirectly thinking of Krishna and became fully Krishna conscious. Right? So in this way then, he becomes Krishna conscious, right? It's unfavorable, but he's fully absorbed. And from that, that will give him, you know, it'll transform to the spiritual realm. Right? So the point being made is that if he gets so much benefit being Krishna conscious, and it's unfavorable how much benefit you get from being Krishna conscious, that it is favorable. Meanwhile, because of the Lord's presence within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came to offer the Lord their prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, they said, is eternally the absolute truth. The Supreme Soul is more important than the gross body and the supersoul. Paramatma is still more important than the soul. Oh, the spiritual soul is more important than the gross body. And the supersoul, Paramatma, is still more important than the soul. The Supreme Personality of the Supreme Godhead is absolutely independent, and his incarnations are transcendental. The prayers of the demigods glorify and exalt devotees and explain the fate of persons who superficially consider themselves liberated from the conditions of material nature. A devotee is always safe. When a devotee fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, he is completely liberated from the fear of material existence. By explaining why the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, the prayers of the demigods certainly confirm the Lord's statement in Bhagavad Gita 4:7. Yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses, verses 1 to 24. Sri Krishna makes suitable arrangements for his appearance. Verses 25 to 42, prayers of the demigods. Verses 1 to 24. Sri Krishna makes suitable arrangements for his appearance. Sukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magadharaj Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of demons like Palamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Agasura, Mustika, Arista, Dvidvida, Putana, Keshi, Denuka, Banasura, Narakasura, and many other demoniac kings on the face of the earth. Srila Prabhupada comments, this verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 4:7-8. Yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya taratmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstap anartaya sambhavami uge uge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I invent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders unfortunately try to hinder the purpose of the Lord. And therefore the Lord appears, either personally or with his plenary portions, to set things right. It is therefore said, Garbham sancharya rohinyam devakya ryogamayaya tasya kukshitam tasya kukshim gata krishno dvitiyo vibudhai stutaha. Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baladev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yogamaya. Yadubhi sa Varudhyata. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees, but there were many powerful demons, such as Salva, who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful, and therefore Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appear more powerful than the demigods. But ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant. So, in material consciousness, there's always that aspect of, since I'm the controller and enjoyer. So if there's an opportunity that you could control, even though you're not supposed to, then unless there's proper training, unless one's pious, one will take advantage of it. So that's why it says the demons then will appear naturally more powerful than the demigods, because they always take advantage of it. The demigods don't. Now and again you see they do, but you know, that's just because they are, you know, still materially contaminated. But the demons, you know, material contamination is their creed, right? Their commitment, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, then they're always trying to, because otherwise, what's the need? You have power, you have authority, enjoy life. But no, they enjoy being powerful in that they can enjoy. So any opportunity they can express power, they will. They don't need to, they shouldn't. But that's what makes them demoniac, because they do. Right? A cultured person or someone's following the Varnashram with the higher qualities, then they don't. They have the opportunity, but they don't say anything. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. So when this comes, then Krishna himself comes, or his plenary proportions, or, you know, the devotees, something that always comes and corrects the situation like that, because the demons aren't supposed to. In other words, they're given their opportunity because that's what they want. The living entities come here for that. But if they disturb so much that others can't do their, you know, be elevated, then that's where the problem lies. They get in the way of their own elevation, that's fine. But when they start getting in the way of others' elevation, that's where then the Lord or his representative comes along and makes some adjustments. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, persecuted by the demoniac kings, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, like those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, Salvas, Vidarbhas, Nishadas, Nidehas, and Koshalas. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered a womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Footnote 17. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna known as Ananta appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed with both jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the Yadus, who were fearful due to the atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of Yogamaya, his internal potency. Right? Because all the devotional activities are controlled by her, so if she comes, then everything will go nicely for the devotees. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but he is especially the Lord of the Yadu dynasty. Right? So he's Lord of everything, but because of their reciprocation, he's more. So in other words, with the universe, it's Sthanam. But with the Yadu dynasty, it's Poshanam. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a different level. Srila Prabhupada comments, some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa. And they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes. And Akura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, to protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the Personality of Godhead, Vishvatma, the Supreme Soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, gave orders to Yogamaya, who is the fifth of his nine spiritual energies headed by Vimala. Because right, then, when, you know, when he's in the Vishnu, when he's there, he has all these nine energies. So then she's the fifth of them. There's so many of them. means we don't generally deal with all these so much, but the Sris, this is their main thing. We deal with the Astasakis and like this. Srila Prabhupada adds, the affairs of the Supersoul, Vishvatma or Paramatma, pertain to Kiradakshai Vishnu, but Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tata dehantara praptihi. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obligated to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bhayam, or fear. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesyata syat. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:2-37. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always alert to the protection of his devotees. So we see here there's a different aspect of fear between the materialist and the devotee. The materialists are fearful because they identify with the material nature and it's temporary. And so that means then their identity is temporary. So they're always afraid of losing that identity. Right? So it's a symptom of the material nature. Or from the other side is that they have a relationship with the Lord as servant and they don't want to accept that position. So they're fearful of that position. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, both of these aspects of fear go away when one takes up Krishna consciousness, because one's not afraid of one's identity as Krishna's servant, and one's not afraid of the temporariness of the material world, so therefore they're fearless. But at the same time, it is said here, we see as Devaki is afraid of Kamsa, Prahlad Maharaj is afraid of the material nature. Not because they identify with the material nature, because they know how powerful Maya is and how you can forget Krishna. So that's there. There must be that healthy fear of material energy that she is capable of us forgetting Krishna. So it's a difference. So they don't have material fear, right? It's a fear that's coming on the spiritual platform. Does that make sense?
You said that that's not actually a negative emotion, sexual.
No, it's not. But. And yes, and because they do have that, then they're always aware of Krishna, always careful. So they're always remembering Krishna and always being careful not to forget Krishna. So that's part of the practice of Krishna consciousness. You do what is favorable, you don't do what's not favorable. So that fear of what's not favorable, that's there. So then.
Enthusiastic in regards to the Lord protecting him.
Yes, yes.
So he's fearful of his own,
of not being Krishna conscious. Yes, so the protection is always there. They're confident of that because they're surrendered to the Lord. Because the point is who's taking care anyway? You could say, well, I'm not that advanced of a devotee, but who's taking care anyway? You know, it's just like. The situation on the road here. Anyone's ever drove from Calcutta to Mayapur or vice versa, right? Now, how many opportunities on that road is there for something to go wrong?
Many.
Many. Okay. Now, but there's not that, in proportion, there's hardly any accidents. You know, and even now it's less than it used to be. It used to be any time you drove from Calcutta to Mayapur, guaranteed there were 10 lorries off the road, in a ditch, turned over in a tree, you know, into each other, something. Guaranteed, 10. They always were there, you know, like that. Now it's rare to see, but, you know, so it's even, you know, whatever. So, but if you took that situation in the West, how many accidents would be there? What would be the proportion? There's nothing going wrong, and they have accidents. Here it's everything's going wrong, they have no accidents. Right? So why is that? That's because Krishna's taking care. That's the whole thing. He's the one that's taking care of everything. So even on the material platform, you're only going to get what is your karma. Now, you can be afraid of your karma. That's another thing, you know. You know better than anyone else, but But the point is this Krishna taking care anyway. So let alone now you become a devotee taking up his service, why he will stop taking care. Now he'll take care even more. So before it was just stanam, now it becomes potion. To that degree that we're surrendered. Right? So we're confident as he's taking care. Now how he'll take care, that's up to him. Whatever's going to be good for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we might identify that as really nice or not.
It's interesting how we're at the same time confident in him, but it says pure devotee is always fearful of materialism.
Yes. Yeah, because it's just, you know, their own consciousness. But they're confident that Krishna will protect, he'll take care, but it's still not that you don't have these things. Because if you remove these things, then what are you left with? Just nothingness. Okay? So that's the whole point, is we have to be able to give up the idea that spiritual means nothingness.
Yesterday, when the soul being such a demon, that does it have feeling suffering?
No, it's not that he doesn't feel suffering. He feels suffering because it's not happiness. But he can't relate to suffering. Like if we say, okay, if we say material life, does it have happiness and distress? Yes, we're quite comfortable with that. It means we try for the happiness, some the stress will get in the way, we'll remove that, we'll be happy. But now, let's say spiritual life. Will there be happiness and distress? But that's from philosophy, right? But for ourselves, no, it'll just be happiness. So the concept of distress, we don't really... So then the point is then with time, we forget distress. We were giving it in relationship to... If one takes up seriously the culture and practice of Krishna consciousness, then as the forgetfulness of the pain in the material world goes down, but one's absorbed in Krishna consciousness and in the culture of Krishna consciousness, it's favorable. But if we don't, then we'll forget how the pain in the material world, and then we'll think being involved in it's not a big deal, right? We have a karmi job, it's driving us nuts, we find the alternative is Krishna consciousness, we take that up, we do that. But then after so many years, we forget how miserable it was, and then we think, oh, hey, I could get a job, you know, that's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, they forget. Because, you know, that unpleasantness is not part of the nature of the soul, so you forget. You know, just like responsibility is not the nature of a child, so therefore they always forget. You know, having fun is, so that's why they forget and just start playing around. Does that make sense? You know, because otherwise they start playing in that, aren't you supposed to behave? Oh, I forgot. You know, that's always the thing. Is it?
Also suffering, like the effects of suffering itself, more we have met people to learn to.
In one sense, yes, but in another sense, no. Let us say you have a cow. Okay? Get out a stick. You don't even have to hit the cow. You just get the stick out. The cow notices. Let's say we have a buffalo. Get out a stick. It doesn't even faze them. They just keep walking along. Nothing. Get out of bamboo, they might look. But. You understand? So the material energy, depending on if there's more goodness, then there'll be more noticing of the pain. Therefore, the lifestyle and goodness is you're dealing with material energy less. You know, in the way of attachment. That's why it's more on duty, because then the distress from it is also less. But in passion, then it's more, and then in ignorance, it's the most. So they go through the worst, and then they go on. You know, it's like the two guys are standing there, you know, I mean, at the bar and talking about how rough their life has been. But for them, it's the prestige. You know, my life was rougher than your life. You know, so they just go on getting more and more ridiculous on how rough their life is. You know, until they're down to living in a shoebox, and you know, until You know, in that way, you're woken up early in the morning, then the next one, that's nothing. We're woken up before we even go to sleep, you know, and then, you know, so, you know, then one is, you know, we do something wrong, we're beaten here, we're just beaten just to be, you know, just go on and on and on, right? Yeah, so that's the whole problem, is that the mode of ignorance, you don't even realize how much it is difficult. You don't like it, but it doesn't mean much because there's not enough goodness to have enough refinement to appreciate how bad it is. Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore that's why then the involvement as you go up is less. You understand?
In this regard, we look at crap and saying that sometimes the fallacy is we think the volume will reduce, but actually it's not the volume will reduce, but the effect.
The effect on us, it will reduce. Because otherwise, if you want to reduce the volume in the distress, you also have to reduce the volume in the happiness. You know what I'm saying? So, I want X amount of material facility, but I want my distress to go down. So I think that the obstacles to that material facility will go away. No, you're being affected by it. Otherwise, then you want the material distress to go down in volume, then your material happiness has to go down in volume. Does that make sense? That's the two are balanced. Like that. It's only Krishna. He can give more and less of that. But that's by Krishna's grace, and you know, like that. But that's not the symptom of devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Bhakti itself. It is a side thing of. That may be, but that means one's more advanced. So when say, no, but I want this to happen, great, become more advanced. You know, Balimar's got more, you know, facility than Indra, but how advanced he was. He had totally Atmanivedanam. He's known for that. But we don't want to Atmanivedanam in them, but we want everything, you know. So the whole point is no, it comes as according to your surrender. But if your purpose is to get those facilities by surrendering, then it's not actually surrendering, so then you won't get them. So it's just as distress comes when you least expect it, so happiness comes when you least expect it. Does that make sense? So we're giving a permanent solution, because here everything's temporary, so it gives more. There in the spiritual world, you don't have that problem. You know what I'm saying? So this is not necessarily a general point to be made, but we are discussing 10th canto, so... Right? So, okay. So you see the distresses that come here to the devotee, but they're always absorbed in Krishna. It just, that's why we study them. That's why they're so special. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just forget the time. Yoga Maya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. Out of affection for his devotees, the Lord always stays in spiritual touch with them. Although otherwise, his Maya potency is so strong that she bewilders even exalted demigods like Brahma. Therefore, the Lord's potency is called Yoga Maya. Since the Lord is Vishvatma, he immediately ordered Yoga Maya to give protection to Devaki. And so, it means we're always protected, but it's just a matter of how we may want to be protected is another thing. Just like the mother is always taking care of the child, but it's not always the way the child wants it to be. Right? You know, does that make sense? Because otherwise, up to the kid, all he'd be doing is eating, you know, how you say, pizza, chips, candy, and watching TV all day. So the mother may have a slightly different idea. But it's not that because it's not going the way he wants, they're not taking care. So some of the times the things that go wrong, it's because we think it shouldn't be that way, but, you know, if we were comfortable with it, it wouldn't be a problem. The Lord ordered Yoga Maya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities. Right, so all living entities are getting the benefit, either spiritually, by directly or indirectly, by being made inspired to go towards the spiritual. So, okay. So, he's telling her, go to Braja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land, there are many cows, where many cows reside. Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva, is living at the home of Nandamaraj. Otherwise, the Vasudeva are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Sankarsana or Sesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The term Mamakam Dhamma means that Baladev is the Lord's Amsa. Sesha is his portion. This is shown in verses such as 10:65-28. Yasyai Kamsena Vidrita Jagati Jagata Pate. O Master of the Universe, Rama, by one of your parts, you hold up the earth. Though Rohini is the eternal mother of Balarama, because of my request, he appeared in Devaki's womb first. After establishing Sesha, his Amsa there, as my bed and seat, he desired to go to the womb of his own mother. Right, so he's there in the first as his bed and seat. So whether Krishna sits or stays, that's Ananta. So he wanted to go there first to, you know, establish that place to stay. Then he went to his own mother. Does that make sense? So otherwise, why do this transfer? Because Krishna always says, so he's already there first. Srila Prabhupada adds, symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association. In this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Satgarbha asuras were killed by Kamsa. Right? So he puts it in here. So that they were asuras, that they just took birth in here. So the Satgarbha asura. Otherwise, they're many times referred to as just Satgarbha. You know, then you just think they're some kids. Mm-hmm. But no, Satgarbha asura. So they're actually demons. Mm-hmm. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has six sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. So, now that it's put in this context, do you want these six to be killed? It's starting to look better all the time, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darshyati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. Right? So it's fear of material existence, not fear of things within material existence. Does that make sense? Okay. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the six sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya are killed, the Sesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears, right? So becoming Krishna conscious, removing these material things, that's what Balaram does. Right? And then that being there, then Krishna can appear. Then we become Krishna conscious.
Maharaj, that means that when all the anger...
It means to that degree. It means if it's too much, then nothing will be there. But otherwise, then something, at least Krishna in the form of his name, form, quality, like this, it will come. But as it goes, then it gets more and more. Does that make sense? Yeah. But here, then, she's fully absorbed all the time. So then that's... Okay, this is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The Supreme Lord continued, O auspicious Yoga Maya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki. And you will appear as the daughter of Mother Jashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Srila Prabhupada comments, the word Amshabhagena is important in this verse. In Bhagavad Gita 10:42, the Lord says, Atava bahunaitena kim yatena tvarjuna vishtabhayam idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagata. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Everything is situated as a part of the Supreme Lord's potency. Right, so in other words, what's going to be relevant for us being Krishna conscious, that's the knowledge we should be absorbed in. Just knowledge to know, that's not important. Right? Because by that knowledge, if you don't know Krishna, then what's the point of the knowledge? So in other words, make sure it's whatever you learn it in connection with Krishna. Everything is situated as a part of the Supreme Lord's potency. In regard to Lord Krishna's appearance in the womb of Devaki, Brahma played a part also because on the bank of the milk ocean he requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. A part was also played by Baladev, the first expansion of Godhead. Similarly, Yogamaya, who appeared as the daughter of Mother Jashoda, also played a part. Thus, Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva are all integrated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna appears, he appears with all his integrated parts. So, when the Lord appears, then all his aspects appear. That's the thing. He doesn't just come alone. He comes with everybody. Like that. So him, his internal potency, his expansion, his Baladev, then the Jivas, everybody comes. As explained in previous verses, Yogamaya was requested to attract Sankarsana, Baladev, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And this was a very heavy task for her. Yogamaya naturally could not see how it was possible for her to attract Sankarsana. Therefore, Krishna addressed her as Shubhe, auspicious, and said, be blessed, take power from me, and you will be able to do it. Right? Because she is the potency from Baladev. Right? So how would she be able to do that? But he's saying, take from me. And so then, very easily, she'll be able to do that. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can do anything. For the Lord is present in everything, all things being his parts and parcels, amsabhagena, and increasing or decreasing by his supreme will. So by his grace, she'll be able to do that very easily. So we see he's attracted to the womb of Rohini. It's not that he's pushed out of the womb of Devaki, right? You know, because he's staying there as that position of the Lord's seat. So he's just attracted there, so that's then where he'll manifest his Baladev. Right? So in the womb of Devaki, then as Sesha, that's then that aspect is there. Yeah. The Supreme Lord continued, By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously with various paraphernalia, because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, your Amsa, Mahamaya, will be taken by Vasudeva to cheat Kamsa. You will be worshipped in various forms in Vidyachala and other places. All men will worship these forms because you are the supreme Varam, goddess, Ishwarim, of those who have all types of material desires.
Again, the Shakti Peet that we have
in Vindhya.
Yeah, all over India.
Well, it's all over India, but here especially Vindhyachala. then is that that's where she'll be worshipped very nicely. But the point is that these forms is because she was born to Mother Jashoda, but as Yogamaya, then means Mahamaya was taken to Kamsa, and then he tried to kill her, and then she left, and then she's worshipped in all these places, by all these places. Does that make sense? So this aspect of that shadow, or this other aspect, then that is connected with the Vindhya. Is that?
Where is Vindhya?
Exactly. Well, Vindhya means Vindhya Chala will be the Vindhya Mountains. Vindhya is the ones that they're in Madhya Pradesh. Mm-hmm. So you have Vindhya is below, then you have, Aryavarta, mm-hmm. then you have the Himalayas above. Mm-hmm. So that's it, they're below. So before they were competing with the Himalayas, they were getting bigger, trying to get bigger. But it's not supposed to be like that. The Himalayas are the biggest. Mm-hmm. So then someone needed to reduce the height. Mm-hmm. So then Agastya Muni, he agreed to do that. He's the Muni that's the size of a thumb. Okay. So then he went there. He was going to South India. And he requested, I have to go to South, and I'm so small and you're so big. Could you just reduce your height a bit so I can get over? And then when I finish my work, I'll come back, and then you can go back again. So he went over, and then from South he just, by his mystic powers, left. So Vindhya is still waiting for him to come back. Yes.
Is there a connection between this particular pastime and Sati? Because Sati, when she burns up herself, you know, the different parts, it means that it falls in different places, and those are the different places.
Yeah, you have that as Sati doing. You also have that of Kali, you know, getting cut up by Vishnu's chakra into a thousand pieces, and then the pieces falling around. So the point is, as it mentions here, by sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously with various paraphernalia because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. Mm-hmm. So for them, they only see her. They don't know that her potency comes from Krishna. So for them, she is supreme in fulfilling all their material desires. So like that, then there's going to be so many temples of her. All men will worship these forms because you are the supreme, Varam, goddess, Ishwarim, of those who have all types of material desires. So she is the top goddess of them because she being the material energy, she fulfills the material desires. So everybody then goes to her. But those who are intelligent knows that her potency comes from Krishna, so they'll go there. And those who are more intelligent will understand serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna is actually going to give the highest happiness, because we go for material desire because it pleases oneself. But by pleasing Krishna, that actually makes the one that most happy. So that the most intelligent go for that. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna and Yogamaya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga is the supreme power within the material world, right? Because they say power, they don't say powerful, right? So we can understand. It supports the position being given. Mm-hmm. Actually, people in the... Okay. Krishna is the supreme powerful and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship both the powerful and the power. There are many hundreds and thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worshipper of power, Durga, or the external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily. But anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so they worship both. Both are being worshipped, and sometimes they'll be worshipped together. But actually, if you want to attain transcendental, then you'll worship Krishna. You don't need to worship Maya. Lord Krishna blessed Mayadevi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names, such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sarada, and Ambika. Srila Prabhupada comments. Because Krishna and his energy appeared simultaneously, people have generally formed two groups, the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas, and sometimes there is rivalry between them. Essentially, those who are interested in material enjoyment are Shaktas, and those interested in spiritual salvation and attaining the spiritual kingdom are Vaishnavas. Because people are generally interested in material enjoyment, they are interested in worshipping Maya Devi, the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas, however, are Shuddha Shaktas, or pure Bhaktas. Shuddha Shaktas. We're not Shaktas, we're Shuddha Shaktas. Or pure Bhaktas. Because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra indicates worship of the Supreme Lord's energy, Hara. A Vaishnava prays to the energy of the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord along with his spiritual energy. Thus, Vaishnavas all worship such deities as Radha Krishna, Sita Rama, Lakshmi Narayana, and Rukmini Dwarkadisha, whereas Durga Shaktas worship the material energy under different names. So there's Shuddha Shaktas and Durga Shaktas. Right? Because we also, you know, worship the energy of the Lord, but as it to in for the opportunity to serve the Lord. She's always serving, so we can assist her servants in serving the Lord. Shuddha Shaktas. Yes. The names by which Mayadevi is known in different places have been listed by Vallabhacharya as follows. In Varanasi, she is known as Durga. In Avanti, she is known as Bhadrakali. In Orissa, she is known as Vijaya. And in Kulahapura, she is known as Vaishnavi, or Mahalakshmi. The representatives of Mahalakshmi and Ambika are present in Bombay. In the country known as Kamarupa, she is known as Chandika. In North India, as Sharada. And in Cape Cormoran, as Kanyaka. Thus, she is distributed according to various names in various places. Srila Vijaya Dvaj Tirthapad, in his Pada Ratnavali Tika, has explained the meanings of the different representations. Maya is known as Durga because she is approached with great difficulty, as Bhadra because she is auspicious, and as Kali because she is deep blue. Because she is the most powerful energy, she is known as Vijaya. Because she is one of the different energies of Vishnu, she is known as Vaishnavi. And because she enjoys in this material world and gives facilities for material enjoyment, she is known as Kumuda. Because she is very severe to her enemies, the Asura, she knows as Chandika. And because she gives all sorts of material facilities, she is called Krishna. In this way, the material energy is differently named and situated in different places on the globe of the earth. So depending on what someone wants, they'll go to that particular temple, the side. Lord Krishna continued. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarsana because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, right? Because of attraction. Right? That's the whole point of Sankarsana. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula, because Rama means pleasure. Right? And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Srila Prabhupada comments. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Sankarsana, Balaram, or sometimes Rama. In the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram, but although devotees of Lord Rama may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama. Here Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama, Rameti. Therefore, it's not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Rama. Right? Shri Rama Rama Rameti, Rame Rame, Manorame, Sahasranama Tatpunyam, Rama Nama Varanane. So there then that aspect of Rama, then they will say that that's Lord Ramachandra also. So the point is that there's not a problem there. Right? Because he gives that happiness to the devotees and everything, therefore they're Rama. Mm-hmm. Therefore it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Ramachandra. Jayadev Goswami also speaks of three Ramas, Parasurama, Jagupati Rama, Raghupati Rama, and Balarama. All of them are Ramas, because in his song about the Dasa Avatar, then he refers to them by these names, all as Ramas. Mm. Parasurama or Jamadagna Rama, like that. Mm. Like that. Or, Raghupati Rama, and then like that. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in the Upanishads, it is stated, Nayam Atma Bala Hitena Labdhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarsana. Ananta or Sesha is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation. But actually, it's the display of the potency of Sankarsana. So it's not gravity that attracts things. The Prabhupada says this idea that gravity is what's attracting, that's not the point. Sankarsana is attracting. It's known materially as gravity, but it's not. It's Balaram's attracting. He's holding everything together. Mm-hmm. Balaram Sankarsana is the source of spiritual power, the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. So, from the spiritual master, we get that strength. By the instructions, we remove the material consciousness so that we are situated spiritually. So that comes from the spiritual master who is representing Lord Balaram.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.